Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio.
I'm just watching your crown, so it works.
Regal would be the word you're looking for.
Is it season two of The Crown is out now on the Netflix?
Three.
Does this ever come to a kind of a natural break, or am I too late for that now?
Done now. We're here for three days.
Hold on. Nailed it. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, Tony, I can help you out with the crown business.
Okay.
I pretty much know how it's going to end.
Right.
They stay married, and she refuses to give the crown to her son. So there you have it right there. And they'll
We're
be in the tabloids a lot, and they'll feel some pressure to change the royalty and not have it be what it once was. Seems to me that once royalty becomes common, there's no point. That's just me. I don't know about these things because, well, I don't live in Great Britain, but there are a lot of believers who do, and there's an awful lot of stories coming out of Great Britain. Let's go there, shall we? See, here's the benefit. Uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Here's the benefit. Todd, a wise man, would know that he's going to say something that's going to get him in trouble and not say it. I know. That's my point. I'm not. So here we go. The nice thing about talking about Great Britain is that we can go there without having to eat the food. So let's enjoy some stories from Great Britain. Look, Great Britain, you have wonderful things that cause a lot of us to go there and visit. We love it. When we were there for Way of the Master season 84, I think we were on at that point. And then we got to go to beautiful places. It was Bedford. Went out into the countryside. That may have been my favorite day when we were in Great Britain. Love being in London. That was really cool. Going to St. Paul's, magnificent church. Magnificent. I mean, just glorious architecture. But going out to the country, oh, wow.
Beautiful geese.
Okay, Joey?
Yes?
Are you trying to bring up a painful memory?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because I scream like a girl when I was attacked by a goose. Okay, they're pretty aggressive birds. So don't tell me that you wouldn't have shrieked like a sissy pants. Like I pretty much did. Not only was I attacked by a goose. See, I could have been being attacked by a goose. That would have been better was it Mainz, Germany, where Jan Hus was actually burned at the stake. He's Jan Goose. Jan of Goose Connect. His goose was cooked. Now, if we could have timed that a little bit better, instead, we were at the location, we think. Now, people aren't sure, but they think it was the location of where John Bunyan was when he was imprisoned. Was it 9 years writing Pilgrim's Progress in Bedford? It was right next to it's a river that flows through Bedford. It's a delightful little town. I mean, he may have been right there on that spot. There are people who say, no, it was probably further away from the river. Nevertheless, that tradition says, and if that was the location, let me tell you, that must have made it worse. Because it gets wet and dank in those cells right next to a river. Wasn't as bad as what Jan Hus had, though. A lot of those guys, they were put in the worst facilities. In fact, Jan Hus, I believe, when he was brought in from Bohemia, he was put in a jail, and he was the fellow, if I recall my Reformation history correctly, in fact, probably right, because they were all mistreated in prison, that the facilities, they were right next to where the latrines were. You don't get used to that. You just sit there and rot until you're brought to court, which was run by some kangaroos, because it certainly was a kangaroo court, where they took his priestly gear from him. They took his priestly hat off of him and put mock clothing. They just taunted him, teased him, mocked him. And then they set him on fire. where it took him about 15 minutes before he actually gave in to the flames. Let's go to Great Britain, shall we? Now, guys, just off the record, nobody's listening to us.
Ever.
Have I made right by our British friends that while the food ain't nothing to write home about, it's a lovely country, so do you think maybe I've...
I'm guessing your invitation to Buckingham Palace is coming even as we speak.
Sure it is.
Then they'll have to add a whole other section of the crown.
What does the UK think is right and wrong? BBC did a big survey. I got to tell you something. It's this. What was more interesting about the results of the survey were the survey itself. The things that they thought, well, let's find out how people are thinking about these moral issues. And they were just not the big moral issues that you and I tend to think are the moral issues. Yeah, they talked a little bit about things like faithfulness, fidelity to one's spouse. There was a little tiny bit in there about pornography, but otherwise, it was kind of a softer poll. Like, would you, if somebody were harassing somebody at work, would you protect them? What happened to things like, I don't know, the Ten Commandments as being a rule that can be used? 3,655 adults, age 16 plus, BBC's Year of Belief. 70% of adults agree it's important for people to have a moral framework in their lives. 70%. I'm just kind of hoping when I visit Great Britain, should that ever happen again, that I'm staying in a hotel room.
Don't worry.
Next to somebody who isn't the 30%.
The other 30% are all in Parliament. You're okay.
I see. By the way, speaking of Parliament in Great Britain, it looks like the Labour Party, an awful lot like the Democratic Party in the United States, basically coming out and saying, hey, for our platform, I think they meet in December 12th is the general, ahead of the general election. The Labour Party would decriminalize abortion in Britain, making it legal to have an abortion for any reason up to the birth of a child. And maybe even after, wink, wink. The party's manifesto, that seems like a aptly chosen word, launched today before the general election, will uphold women's reproductive rights and decriminalize abortions.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. Says somebody in Great Britain, we would be left with the most extreme abortion law in the world. I think it's a pro-life person. The change would further position England and Wales drastically away from most countries in the European Union. Are they still in the European Union? Come on!
They're
Brexit
still trying
already.
To leave. They're trying.
Come on! Just
it's like Brexit. It's like a Minnesota goodbye. It just takes a while.
Oh, I used to think Minnesota goodbyes were long.
Yeah.
Move to the South. Minnesota goodbyes are cute by comparison.
Really?
Oh. Let's just say, for instance, Thanksgiving, it falls on a Thursday. Have everybody over, start on Wednesday, and then as soon as they come in, say, well, look, it's been fun, and then maybe they'll be gone by Friday. Because the goodbyes here, they go on forever. We'll have the most common abortion time limit in the EU is 12 weeks. Well, that's horrible. It could even be worse in Great Britain if the Labour Party, who doesn't appear to be doing very well. By the way, speaking of the Democrats, Pete Buttigieg, who's leading in some polls, wow, says the Bible is inconsistent, but it does approve of abortion. Huh? Quote, in Rolling Stone magazine, there's so many things in Scripture that are inconsistent internally. No, actually, that's one of the reasons we believe the Bible is supernatural. It's internal consistency. Aye. And you've got to decide what sense to make of it. I see. So not a grammatical, historical, hermeneutical, interpretive approach. It's the Buttigieg approach. It's the pick whatever you want. You figure out how it works for you. Quote, Jesus speaks so often in hyperbole and parable. Yeah. In mysterious code. It is to you, I'm sure, Pete, if you know what I'm saying, that in my experience, there's simply no way that a literal understanding of Scripture can fit into the Bible that I find in my hands. Really? Then what's the point? Why read it at all? If it's a malleable book, why, Grapes of Wrath, Let that be your religious textbook. Make it work for what works for you, Pete, because if you're going to do that with the Bible, why don't you do it with something that the rest of us don't esteem so highly? Go grab an Oprah magazine. Make that work for your lifestyle. Make that work for your morality. Make that work for your platform. Leave the Bible alone, sir. Back to Great Britain, 83% of adults feeling a significant responsibility to be faithful to their partner. Hey, guys, I know none of us did really well in math, but just help me out here. The greater lesser than symbol, I always get that goofed up.
Yeah.
83% of adults feel that it's their responsibility to try to be faithful to their partner. Is 83 more or less than 100?
That would be less.
Huh? Let's see. 3 in 5 adults who say they've been unfaithful to their partner also say it's never acceptable to cheat. Well, you know, that's kind of a Pete Buttigieg way of approaching morality is what you got there. People who say they are members of an organized religion are generally more likely to stick to their principles. Gentlemen, did you bring that feather into work so you could just knock me over with that bad boy? Oh, Great Britain, Great Britain. This, but I love your country. This, not the food so much. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a 1-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. Asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11 and another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To Great Britain we, well, stay actually. This is Wretched Radio, a poll in Great Britain giving a little insight into the morality of the Great Kingdom known as Great Britain. Great Britain is known as the, no, it's the United Kingdom, United is Kingdom, the whole shebang.
Then Great Britain.
Great Britain
then
is
England.
Great Britain. Yeah. And Ireland is Ireland. And I always get those two confused, so I won't even try to explain that because, well, people...
Ireland's a part of the UK, but not Great Britain.
Already annoying.
Northern Ireland is.
Yes, that one.
See, there it is right there. There it is right there. It's. I'm a little bit confused.
Wish there was a map.
This is what I know about Ireland. I will say this again. I have never met anybody who went to Ireland who did not come back going, it was unbelievably gorgeous. The Emerald Isle... Beautiful. You know what people say that about Alaska too? People rave about Alaska. A lot of Christian cruises happen up there, and people come back and they just say, like, I didn't think it would be very interesting or very pretty. They just, it's like they can't wait to go back. It's so breathtakingly gorgeous in Alaska. Someday I'll get to go to those places, Lord willing. This was the poll of 3,655 adults in Great Britain. BBC's Year of Beliefs poll. We'll make our way through these lickety-split. It just tells us what's happening right now in Great Britain. 69% of those surveyed said people should be free to live their lives as they want as long as it doesn't harm others. That really is what a lot of morality is coming down to these days in Western civilization. Doesn't hurt anybody? That's fine. You can live any way that you choose as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Now, this is where it gets a little bit dicey for us Christians, doesn't it? Because we know that these things are sinful, that they are bad for people, even if they're not bad perhaps for other people, although sin always has a ripple effect. Sin rarely doesn't affect others, but it affects that person. We know it's bad for them, and yet we don't want to become Pharisees, do we? Imposing our morality on people, forcing them to act a certain way, say certain things. On the other hand, we kind of do, don't we? Because it's better for culture. And yet, we don't want to be telling people that you should be behaving this way because it's better for culture, because that is a losing argument. That is, we've seen that, haven't we? Hey, the institution of marriage should remain one man, one woman, because any other configuration, it's bad for culture. How long did that dam hold before it just blew wide open? And was a disaster. The Christian response to a morality poll in Great Britain is the same response, the same attitude, the same heart, and the same message we bring to any nation, to any situation. Our issue is not so much of a concern about external morality, although I understand why we are for children. Believe me, I get it. I get why we're concerned. But the Christian message, the church's message is repent. Stop sinning. Not just this is bad for culture. Stop sinning. And I realize that this is why we've got so many Christians with so many different attitudes about this and why I think we should have an awful lot of grace toward one another. These issues, they get very complicated. For instance, school board, this is District 211 in Illinois. That's, by the way, Illinois. I wasn't really good at geometry, but Illinois is not in Great Britain. School Board District 211 in Illinois voted last week 5-2 decision to allow biological males into the female locker room at the high school. Well, if that just doesn't grieve your heart. The board said all students... Oh, the girls are not thrilled at all. No. One girl broke down in tears. She's on the swim team. And so this dude demands that he gets changed next to her. Demands it. They tried to come up with a compromise. They said, hey, how's about we set this up over there for you?
Nope.
No. This is the article from Daily Wire. A student named Nova Maday, M-A-D-A-Y, Maday, a biological male who identifies as transgender, filed a lawsuit 2017, came to the Department of Education, forcing the high school to allow boys into bathrooms and locker rooms with girls. Total insanity. The school tried to strike a compromise, inviting the gender-confused males into girl-designated areas, but setting aside a separate private area for them to use. was not acceptable. Demanded access to not just the girls' locker room, but to the exact same area where the girls change. His basic human rights being violated in horrific fashion if he was not able to actually change next to girls.
But their human rights, basic...
No.
Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking.
5-2, that he should be... All students should be... All students... You're going to jump right through the microphone. All students should be treated and supported in a manner consistent with their gender identity. All students? Or just
except
a couple of them?
That don't have a problem with their gender.
Apparently the school board thought, yeah, it makes sense for that guy to be in with those girls because he does. It doesn't matter anything about externals, just internals. Wow. No connection to reality in this world. And now every girl in the school has to zip, zip, zip it and cooperate and affirm it. It's never enough. In fact, the guy who won the lawsuit, sporting a Queen t-shirt, wearing long pink hair, said that he's ecstatic, calling the new policy a great step forward. But it's not everything we wanted. But it's a first step toward many more steps.
How much more? Yeah.
How many more stuff? Okay, so we see a story like that, and it just makes you go, and I think that every mom and dad in that school district needs to protect their child. That's what I think. Absolutely. And if that means getting on board with the school board to do so, rock on. That's cool. But the Christian message is repent. Stop sinning. Stop this nonsense. Your thinking is damnable thinking. Repent of this. That's the Christian message. And do you feel the difficulty in this? And that, well, if I do this, I can't do that, and I shouldn't do it. Now, every individual should decide if they're going to be involved on a local level. If they want to get involved in politics, rock on. Knock yourself out. If you believe that that is an instrument that you can use to do good to people, then you do that. But the Christian message is repent. Turn from your sins. Stop your wicked ways. Believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church's message as we go about doing good. And it gets tricky, doesn't it? It just gets difficult. And I see an awful lot of sides on these issues about Christian involvement and engagement. I know what my position is for myself. I'm a little slow to try to impose it on you. I'd like to, because, you know, it's my position. And, of course, I think my position is the best. Here's the problem. You think your position is the best. And that guy over there, he thinks his attitude about this, he's got it figured out exactly right. It's complex. So have a little grace toward one another. 35% of the population feel men and women are born to have different roles. That's 35%. I guess apparently there's no difference between boys and girls. If you want to watch a fascinating interview, by the way, we won't share this on the air because it was more philosophical than it was anything religious or Christianly. David Berlinski was interviewed by Ben Shapiro. There was almost a black hole in the universe. Two brilliant intellects getting together. Go to Shapiro's Facebook. You can find it there. His interview of David Berlinski, who is a cultural Jew, who is a brilliant man, talking about these issues. That these days there's no correspondence theory of truth. It doesn't matter what reality looks like. It's whatever we want it to be. Fascinating interview with him. Back to our poll in Great Britain. 18% of the population admit to being unfaithful to their spouses, while they say it's a bad idea to do that. 59% of UCC adults think the capital punishment is justifiable. 78% believe assisted dying is justifiable. That is becoming a confused culture of death. We let people murder people without exacting on them a correct payment. And if you want to take your life into your own hands and end it, go ahead. You are justified. Wow. This is not being informed by Christian values. Nearly half, 49%, believe that suicide is never justifiable in any circumstance. Yay? 51% do? That's a culture of death. suicide is viewed as more acceptable amongst young adults and those without religious beliefs. Another reminder that this is the generation that is very, very, very desperately in need of truth to straighten out their secular informed thinking, which leads to death. This is another telltale sign that Christians, we should not see the times that we are living in as times to be silent. All of, whether it's the school in Illinois, whether it's the kids that are thinking it's justifiable to take your own life and commit suicide, we've got the answer. We've got the solution. But it's more than just a morality issue. It is a sin issue. It's a forgiveness situation. And Christianity is the only one that identifies the problem rightly and gives the correct diagnosis and prescription. These are not times to shrink back. These are times to speak out. This is Wretched Radio.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can any good thing come out of Great Britain? Yep, this is Wretched Radio.
Hang on.
Got some good British stuff. We've been hearing kind of not-so-good things going on in Great Britain when it comes to morality, values, worldview, no longer being informed by the Bible. Instead, it's mostly secular. This has, of course, been going on for decades. It's good to check in on an occasion, not so that we can tisk-tisk, not so that we can simply try to figure out a way to get those Brits to be behaving more morally. While that's nice, what does it profit an entire island if they have tea properly but die and lose their very soul? Doesn't matter. That is why individuals can be involved in political issues, no problem. But let's remember the message of the Christian, the message of the church. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great British preacher of yesteryear, 20th century, some pithy gems from Grace Gems. If you don't get Grace Gems, I encourage you to do so. It's absolutely free, gracegems.org. Every day they'll send you beauties. Do they send anything that's from a live person? I don't think so. I think in order to qualify for being quoted in Grace Gems, you have to be dead. I just noticed, and it made me sad, I saw some Grace Gems from Adrian Rogers. Kind of made me sad. Like it'll be like seeing Grace Gems from R.C. Sproul. Great to have those gems, but kind of sad those guys are gone, isn't it? Kind of sad those substantial heavy hitters as they leave us. Don't be in a panic. It's okay. The major work, like as wonderful a blessing as it is for things like social media and conferences and tweets to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, as good as that is, let's remember the important work of Christianity is not done in social media. It's not done at conferences. Look, they are a blessing. I go to them too. The real work of the church is done in the church. Locally, on the local level, that is where the real heavy lifting happens on a daily basis. And that's why you got to be praying for your pastors. I'm telling you, those guys, they're doing stuff. I'm telling you, it would make your eyebrows curl. Maybe, hey, wait a second. Eyelashes, there's an eyelash curler, isn't that? No,
there
that's
is.
Your eyebrows.
You no,
know, yours
eyelash
are
curler.
Just because you got fishing
eyelash
line
curler.
Going on up there. Eyelash curlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is why pastors have curly eyelashes, because of the stuff that confronts them on a daily basis. It ain't easy being a local pastor. That's the big work. Don't panic when we lose the big guys. They're a blessing. We praise God for them. but Jesus will keep building his church even without them. Pithy gems from Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is a very soft-spoken fellow. Mm-hmm. I like watching his interviews on BBC. One of those days we'll share those. Very calm. And even back then in the 20th century, if we think that Great Britain and their morality poll indicates that things are lagging there, no. Martin Lloyd-Jones was up against it in his culture at his time, too. Middle of the 20th century. They were coming at him on BBC interviews into the 70s, 80s, coming at this guy. He was so stodgy. Do you really believe that your style of Christianity is going to keep up with the times? See, that's where people get confused, including those in the church. The church doesn't keep up with the times. The times need to conform to the message of the church. That's the order of events. Martin Lloyd-Jones, to divorce forgiveness of sins from the actual living of the Christian life is nothing but rank heresy. Indeed, works are not a part of salvation, but they are a result of salvation. And that's what James was trying to stress. If you don't have works in keeping with repentance, you don't have a saving faith. He was not saying that works are a part of salvation. Where's my other Bible? We'll have to do it this Bible. Hold on. This is a great example of the Protestant Reformation analogy of Scripture principle that helps us to understand and harmonize the Bible. James chapter 2, James is talking about works. Where do they fit in the Christian life? And the Roman Catholic Church would say, well, they're a part of salvation. And if you've got to do things in order to stay saved, maintain your salvation in order to get to heaven, hopefully. And they will use James chapter 2, I think it's around verse 21, where it talks about your actions and your work. And it starts in verse 13. Dear brothers, what's the use of saying if you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? This happens to be the NLT. I happen to have it handy. That's the only Bible I have on my desk. That kind of faith can't save anyone. You see, it isn't enough to just have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It's dead and useless. Now, in verse, I believe it's 21, it talks about Abraham. Yeah, verse 21. Don't you remember Abraham was declared right with God because of what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, he was trusting God so much he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. His faith was made complete by what he did by his actions. This is not the most helpful translation because they're absolutely giving this a Protestant spin here. I'd rather confront the text the way it actually is. Joey, do you guys have a different Bible translation handy? Anything?
Let me go to the interwebs.
I got the ESV.
Oh, you don't have a Bible nearby?
I've got the internet.
I thought you were Christians. Abraham believed God. It was declared to him as righteous. He was even called the friend of God. Shouldn't have been made into a song, but nevertheless. So we're made right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Joey, what do you got?
I got NRSV.
What? Give me the NASB as long as you're a Bible lover.
What I'm looking for, NASB.
Give me an NASB starting in verse 21, James chapter 2. Don't forget, you're listening to the most organized Christian radio program on this station at this time. Go.
Well,
okay, sorry, I've made a mistake here. Oh, there it is, NASB. What? Okay, what verse?
Verse chapter 2, 21.
21. Okay, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar?
Stop right there. Wasn't he justified by works? Uh-oh. So now he goes on to say that Abraham, he believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. His works were justified him, says the text. Wait a second. So that says that works justify the person. So you do have to have works in order to be justified. No, that's not James' point. Keep going, Joey.
You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone.
Okay, there you go. So he's justified by works and not by faith alone. So you go, wow, the Roman Catholics have got it right. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 4. We see a longer treatise on this fellow named Abraham. And we use the clearer section of Scripture to interpret the unclear. I think that was three verses in James. I'm just going to burn through this for you. This is pretty much the entire chapter of Romans 4. Abraham was the founder of our Jewish nation. Were his experiences concerning this question of being saved? What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham has no basis at all for pride. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and it was declared to him as righteous. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they deserve, but people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who is declared to be righteousness. Oh, what a joy when their disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Though that joy is for those whose sin is no longer counted to them by the Lord. Now then, is this blessing only for the Jews or for the Gentiles too? What about Abraham? We have been saying he was declared righteous by God because of his faith. But now, did his faith help him? Was he declared righteous only after he had been circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? The answer is God accepted him before he was circumcised. In other words, faith comes before works. And it goes into the circumcision ceremony. It is clear God's promise to Abraham. It is about faith. The law brings, now he segues, Paul segues into the law. The law brings punishment. The law brings death. You can't keep the law. You need to be credited with righteousness. So verse 16. So that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it, whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. On and on and on it goes. What do we do with faith and works? We interpret the unclear in light of the clear. And even though I think James is clear enough, Romans 4 makes it crystal clear. We do works because we've been forgiven, not to be forgiven. If you are a Christian, you will have works, but those works are a sign, an outworking of salvation. They do not work salvation for you. How do I know? Because James 2 makes it plenty clear. Romans 4 makes it crystal clear. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thank you very much to our gospel partners. It's their support that lets us, well, be wretched, keeping us on the radio, the TV, the internet, and allowing us to develop great resources like Road Trip to Truth, a new video series coming really soon, hosted by John Fabares, who went to college campuses, talked to the millennials about the issues that they struggle with, and sharing the gospel with them. It will give you a bit of a bird's eye view of how you can share your faith with this younger generation. Road Trip to Truth is coming soon, and it's all made possible by the generosity of our gospel partners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? Visit wretched.org/donate for details on how you can become a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not gonna do that, but we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe, 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International. Wretched.org/Bible.
Here at Wretched, we know you guys are already great at giving away Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. So, why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Are You a Rotten Fish is a perfect booklet for anyone looking to truly understand what makes a false convert. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. You know, the difference between wise and foolish virgins, wheat and tares, the difference between good and rotten fish. Give it away to college students as they head off to school or to your youth group at church. Go to wretched.org/fish and get your copies now. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus the false gospel in a short, thorough, punchy, yet loving way. Get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish.
Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna share bad news out of Great Britain. This is Wretched Radio. Not gonna share this story, for instance, about children as young as six being given compulsory self-touching lessons. Not gonna talk about that story. This is one of the most wicked things that we can do as adults. Force kids to learn things that children should not understand or know about. They just shouldn't. One of the best definitions I've ever heard. What is the difference between a child and an adult? And the answer is knowledge. The things that you know and what you know about them. Children shouldn't. There's the innocence of children. It doesn't mean that they don't sin. It's that they don't know of the things that adults know. And they shouldn't. Nevertheless, it's not just Great Britain. It's all over Western civilization, this rush to rob children of innocence. Because, well, we just think that kids should know these things because we're untethered and progressive and on the right side of history. So don't argue about it. It's called All About Me, being rolled out to 241 primaries in the Warwickshire County. Lessons, part of a rather controversial program that get into more details than just that. For kids as young as six. Went and saw a movie. Didn't want to go. Nevertheless, I just thought, I'm gonna be culturally relevant and gonna go. We're gonna just force ourselves to do this because this is what cool people do. So we went to a movie after getting the tickets from Costco, of course. Went to see a movie. I can't eat the popcorn anymore. I don't know what's happened to me. I think they've changed what they put on it. It used to be a nice synthetic 10W-40 they used to put on top of the popcorn. I think they've changed whatever the mixture is. It doesn't do well. And my engine doesn't run well with it, is all I'm trying to say. Nevertheless, went to the movie. And it was sweet because I was with Mrs. Friel. And you could recline. What a culture. I don't just go to the movie because I want a big screen. I go because I want to sit in a Lazy Boy recliner. So we go to see the movie The Midway, the retelling of the story of the battle in 1943 in World War II, which was a tide turner. It was a big deal. You wouldn't really know it from the movie. Nevertheless, not sure that Admiral Nimitz should have been played by Woody Harrelson. But those little quibbles aside.
How'd he do?
The issue was, it wasn't just Woody Harrelson. And maybe, you know, we just think about these things and we look back and it was just different in the 50s. You know, the men were manlier, but When those guys used to play roles like admiral, like when Kirk Douglas would play an admiral, you actually believed he could be an admiral.
Yep.
When Robert Mitchum would act like the commander, you believed it.
The general on D-Day, you believed it.
Woody Harrelson playing an admiral?
Not so much.
Not so
playing
much.
Woody Harrelson.
Playing Woody Harrelson with gray hair, no less.
He had hair.
Oh, he had hair, and it was also white because the Admirals was also to be white. Now, and the problem with the movie, they were focusing on characters. I didn't even know if they were actual people or not. Never they were, and these people, they were brave, and the movie just didn't build like that. It didn't tell that story that made it feel like, wow, these men sacrificed their lives. Instead, it was like, okay, so is it called CG, the big screen boom, boom stuff that you... Okay, so boom, boom stuff, a lot of that. It's like all the movies today. Just get to the next car scene. Just get me to the next chase. Just get me to the next fight, the next explosion. Kind of felt like that. It wasn't a great narrative sort of affair. Nevertheless, that wasn't the point. Quit getting me off track, gentlemen.
Sorry.
Two guys, their plane goes down. They're in a little life raft, bobbing around, and they are captured by the people on the other side, because we don't use terms like enemy anymore. Please note, the Japanese people are not our enemy today. We don't look down on Japanese people today because of what their ancestors did a couple of generations ago. That was their sin. Nevertheless, they captured these two men. And one of them, it was, okay. Just to prove my point, Joe Jonas was the tough guy out of the two fellas. So they interrogate the tough guy. I think that's his, I think that he's the Jonas Nick? Brother. Whatever, yeah. Whatever he's called. The one who's had some hits. At any rate, he's playing the tough guy. Okay, case in point. And he would not give in to them. Said some filthy words, and then they threw him into the water with a rope tied around his ankles. They show him swimming to the top to like get out of the water, and there he is paddling in the water with a rope tied around his ankles. Then they threw the anchor in, and down he went in a fury. Horrible. What Bible verse is coming to mind for you right now? It is better for a millstone to be tied around one's neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Teaching self-stimulation to six-year-olds. One more reason, our response to these stories. We get upset, we get annoyed by these things. There can be some righteous anger, absolutely. But our hearts should go out to these people who are leading little children. I know they're progressive and they're acting wickedly. They're going to have a millstone tied around their neck. That would be better than what's going to happen to them for eternity in hell. That's better. I saw that. That was the most chilling scene in the whole movie. Whoa. What? They threw a millstone. They put an anchor around and threw it in after he's bobbing in the water, and boom, down he goes. Got to be preaching the gospel. Martin Lloyd-Jones, more pithy quotes, courtesy of gracegems.org. Christians are generally at their best when they are in the furnace of affliction. There's a mouthful right there. Nothing we do in the Christian life is harder than blank. Go ahead, gentlemen. Nothing. This is Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great British preacher. Nothing we do in the Christian life is harder than blank. What would you say it is?
Tony, go ahead. I've got nothing.
I'm drawing a blank.
Pick something. Sir, making a potluck casserole. Sanctification. Okay, thank you for playing our game. Tony, what do you think is the hardest thing according to Martin Lloyd-Jones?
Confession.
Prayer.
That was close.
Prayer. By the way, we just posted a video. It might be very helpful for you. It was titled on our Facebook page and on the YouTube machine, "Maybe This Is Why You Don't Stop Sinning." It's because you're confessing your sins, but you're not repenting. Confession is a part of repentance, but it's not the totality of repentance. So maybe you've been saying, "Sorry, God, check. Sorry, God, check. Sorry, God, check," with no intention of turning from asking him for the strength to do so. That could be why you are losing to sin over and over again. You're merely confessing, but you're not totally repenting. Martin Lloyd-Jones, we have come to realize that a man can be educated and cultured, but still be a beast. That's true, isn't it? Isn't that true? You can look so great on the outside, so sophisticated, having tradition. Let's use Great Britain. You can just see a proper Brit, male or female, and it's like, whoa, look at that. That's just civilization at its finest. And yet on the inside, they can be beasts. That's why they need the gospel. The biggest hoax in the world for the last 150 years has been the theory of evolution. Tony, this will make you happy. A denomination decided to go back and take a look at a statement that they made in the 1930s about the issue of creation, and they concluded God created the world in six literal 24-hour days not that long ago. Do you know who that denomination was?
Must be a Lutheran of some sort.
The Lutheran? Yeah, LCMS. Good on them,
yeah.
I say.
Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. As opposed to others.
No, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, I know that they've got their battles. Who doesn't? They've got their skirmishes, but they're still holding on to confessional Lutheranism. Robert Lloyd-Jones, that's his son. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I would rather make bricks without straw than to try to live the Sermon on the Mount in my own strength. That's right. You don't do the Sermon on the Mount in order to get saved. The Beatitudes, for instance, those are the things that mark and identify an actual Christian. But you can't keep all of the law. Jesus magnified the law in the Sermon on the Mount. The idea is not to magnify them so you can work really hard to save yourself, but to demonstrate you can't, but he can, and he does, and he will, if you will repent and put your trust in his Son. Which leaves us with our final Martin Lloyd-Jones quote. No difficulty in believing the gospel is intellectual. It is always moral. Amen, sir. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.